Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But we're going to be having a very special guest today, and we're going to be expanding our perceptiveness, not just talking about mind power, but about soul power, about energy power. Now, why is this important? Why is it important for us to be aware of these different paradigms of understanding? Well, I like to think of it as being given something that's going to enable us to empower ourselves as people. I don't know of a human being on this planet at this time in my life who hasn't gone through ups and downs. When we become aware that we're more than we could possibly envision, and I'm not talking about being narcissistic here, we become aware of something greater than ourselves, and that allows us to be at home with who we are, what we are, and in this wonderful experience called life. My guest today is Dawn Paul. She is in Hertfordshire, England. She has put together a very personal book. And I say a very personal book because it resonates with her journeys, as well as journeys that she's experienced with other people. The book's title is A Healer of Souls, A Helping Hand on Your Journey Through Life. Dawn Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it is an absolute delight to have you on the air. And one of the things that you state in your book, A Healer of Souls, is that you're a shamanic healer. Now, when someone is listening to you talk, you have this very soft, gentle, feminine essence with your voice. And when people think of a shaman, they usually think of someone in some weird costume doing a bunch of chants and a bunch of ritual. Mm-hmm. And so to bring those two together into one person, you have to share your story with my audience. How did you become a shamanic healer?
Okay, well, it's quite a long story, but I'll be as brief as I can. Basically, as you know from the book, from about the age of three, I kind of just knew that I wasn't really from here, and I also knew that this was not reality, that this world that I was being told was real. I knew it wasn't real at that very young age, but I really struggled as a child. I struggled with ill health and, you know, who I was. I felt very separate from everything and went on, you know, kind of a big, you know, spiritual journey, particularly from about the age of 16, trying to make sense of everything. And that spiritual journey just led me to, you know, to read, to study an awful lot, but I could never find my way, I suppose. I knew that I was supposed to be doing something specific, but I just couldn't find it. And that obviously led to a lot of distress in my life. And again, things tended to be very difficult. My father was very sick from when I was 18. I suffered a lot of health problems. Lots of things happened that I didn't understand. So I was continually trying to find my truth and make sense of, you know, my world and the world. And I was working in, I had many jobs, but I worked in finance for 20 years towards the end of my 30s. I'm now 48 nearly, and I kind of just gave up. One night, it was too much for me, and I just went into a rage, and I started throwing crystals and books and things around because it's like I'd been prodded by this thing, you know, to find my way, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't find it, and I'd spent 20 years really hard at it, and I phoned up for a holiday that I wanted to go on for the last 5 years, which is in Peru. And within a couple of weeks, I was in Peru and at Machu Picchu. And when I was there, I was coming down from the highest point. It's called the hitching post of the sun, the Intihuatana. And it was very kind of in a narrow step, slippy steps. So I was really being careful as I was coming down. And something red caught my eye. And I looked up, and there were about 20 Inca looking at me. You know, the red capes were blowing in the breeze. And I was completely shocked because I thought that they were like a tourist attraction at first. You know, men dressed up as Incas. I thought it was a terrible thing to do in such a sacred place. But they started to fade in and out like they were, you know, on a television. Mm-hmm. And they gradually disappeared, leaving two. There was one dressed in gold and armor beneath me, and then another on a plateau below in his red cape. And I was very scared. You know, knees were trembling. But the guy in the golden armor, he was like staring at me with this immense intensity. And I just knew I had to meet his gaze, and there was a blue ball of electricity forming between us, and I was struggling to stay standing, but I managed it. And all of a sudden his arm shot out and he said to me, "You will follow this path and we will help you." And that was it, pretty much. So I ended up coming back to the UK. I asked for some time off unpaid from my job, and I was told no. And so I resigned from a six-figure salary and started the training. But it was almost like I knew it. I knew I'd done it before. I knew the work. And but the, you know, the Inca have been true to their word, and I have been working solidly now. I think this is my 9th year worldwide, helping people with their, you know, emotional issues. And you know, and I absolutely love it, but it's kind of been hard won.
Mm-hmm. It always is. It always is,
yeah.
Because it means leaving behind the old. And there is so much that you touch in your book, A Healer mm-hmm. of Souls. Now, the Quero, am I pronouncing that correctly? They're the medicine people of the Andes. The Quero.
Quero. Yeah.
And they're what I am finding so interesting. Is that, and I've been in the work of mind for most of my life, I am finding so much material that is coming to me because of the show that's dealing with the shamanic, touching back into the shadows of time, that which has often been hidden. And in mm-hmm. my experience, I've come across the kahunas of Hawaii, which I have a deep regard for. Mm-hmm. There are the shamans that from South America. There are those of the Celtic past and others from Europe. Mm-hmm. There are what would be perhaps titled the witch doctors of Africa. Mm-hmm. And you have all of this that is beginning to bubble up. Now, mm-hmm. not that it hasn't been there before. I think there's always been people that have tried through the written word, if it wasn't suppressed, to be able to share some of this old, old wisdom, which is timeless. There's no time on this wisdom. Mm-hmm. And you bring out some points of information, and this may sound like trivia to some of the people in the audience, but part of your shamanic training involved the use of a rattle. And this is something among the Native American cultures here in North America, there are so many cultural aspects that have used the rattle. The Africans have used a form of rattle, depending on what part of Africa you're in. There's always been the use of sound and tone on one level or another. And you brought out how the sound of a rattle, babies, you rattle and they stop. You've got their attention. And you talk about how the value of the rattle is that it alters the brainwave activity mm-hmm. when you were the child. But the same thing happens when someone's trying to do a healing process. And I thought, this is a very good perspective to bring forth, because I don't know of any culture that doesn't use a sound of some kind. Either the shaman does it or there's a collective group that does it. It doesn't make any difference. Tone, sound, music, whatever vibrational frequency really are what you're dealing with. Really get to that. So your points about everything on this earth has a life force to it, everything. And that we have to respect that. And that is culturally, I think, that has been lost to a degree in many aspects of the world. We don't honor and respect many times this planet that we live on. And that we have to remember it's a reflection of us. What I want you to do is share a little bit about some of the people that you have worked with. And I'm thinking of Jasmine. Abuse is something that is just, to me, it's almost incomprehensible. But I know it's there. I mean, I'm not living in la-la land. And you, obviously, as a practitioner, have experienced this. But Jasmine, you wrote about because there were a number of things when you were working with her that were quite significant. Tell us about Jasmine and why you wanted her story to be read.
Okay. So just to backtrack a little bit, I don't have the book here, and it was finished 2 years ago. So my memory's a little foggy, but generally, if it's one of the sexual abuse cases, I specialize in female and male sexual abuse. It's just sort of the work has gone that way. I deal with everything else as well, but generally people come for the shamanic healing for sexual abuse because it's a brilliant way to heal it. Because if you are abused in that way, particularly as a child, you've been affected on every level of your being. So if you're seeking healing, you have to be healed on every level of your being. So if you're just going to talk about it, that's just addressing the mental aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So the shamanic healing will go on and deal with every level of consciousness, the energetic, the emotional, the physical aspects of an individual, and right things, even the inner child, it'll work on. So what happens in an abuse situation is that the abuser downloads, if you like, during the sexual act, their guilt and their shame into the energetic field of victim isn't not a word I like to use, but for ease, let's use victim. And they then end up with the having to process that guilt and that shame, and they take it on as their own. So many people come to me and they're living lives that are below par. They are not making the best of themselves. They're sitting back when they could be doing jobs that, you know, 10 times over. They have skills that are underutilized. And it's because of, well, you know, I'm ashamed and I haven't told anybody. What has the victim got to be ashamed about?
Mm-hmm. Really? Absolutely true. There should be no shame at all.
Absolutely. And also, where the confusion comes in is that, you know, our physical bodies are designed to gain pleasure from sexual intercourse or touch.
Mm-hmm.
And what gets misinterpreted is that the person thinks that if that is inappropriate touching or intercourse, the body shouldn't feel anything and they shouldn't derive any pleasure from it. And of course, the body doesn't have an on and off switch. You know, stimulation is stimulation. It's going to be read by the body for what it is. So again, that's where some of the guilt can come in as well. But it's about the person understanding that, you know, in particular, there is nothing to be ashamed of, even if there has been pleasure experience. But they do need to talk to somebody about it, and they don't have to carry it with them for the rest of their lives. They can, you know, heal it, leave it behind, and move forward and go on to living the life that they deserve.
I know with Jasmine, when you were working with her, you had her do a touch of regression. And one of the biggest things that she found herself experiencing was that she had not been wanted, and also that she didn't really want to be born. And I had to chuckle when I was reading it, not because the story is a funny story, not at all, but I was thinking of a very dear friend of mine who, when she was quite small, I've known this lady for so many years, and we'll have these in-depth conversations, and she was telling me how when she was about, I think it was about 2 years old, when a child is just at that age when they're beginning to crawl and do all of this, she said, I have this most vivid memory that I was to be in the body of this child. And she said, I can remember thinking very clearly, I don't want to go there. That's disgusting. Why do I want to be down in a child's body? And I think of my friend and I just laughed. Because what Jasmine felt was so much like my friend. Now, she was a bit older, but she said she remembers it so clearly. And she said, anybody else I'd say this to, they'd think us nuts. But she said, I can remember arguing. I did not want to be in that child's body. Mm-hmm. I did not want to be in that little mm-hmm. person's space because I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. And I just had to chuckle because Jasmine went through something similarly as she was going through this regression. And in going through the regression, finally she was able to let go of a lot of emotions. And I want to go forward a little bit here because you talk about the energy body. Now, you go into a different level. You say there are many, many different levels of the energy body frequency. And when you're dealing with this, you need to understand that it's sort of like peeling an onion sometimes. You're going through different components to get free of what is encumbering you. Explain that to us a little bit.
Absolutely. So sometimes in healing, people get quite distressed because they feel that they're going backwards, or they can feel that the same issue keeps coming up again and again. And if you imagine an onion cut horizontally, so you're looking at all of the rings, like the rings of a tree, there's a little green shoot in the middle often. And if you imagine that is the place of, you know, fulfillment, complete beingness, enlightenment even. And then, or it could be like even, you know, the part of us, it's like the divine part, you know, the divine spark, the joyful part. And then life goes on and there's a ring put around that and another ring put around it and another ring put around it. And this can also happen over, you know, lifetimes. So past life happens. And it's like heavier and heavier overcoats that we carry that hides that marvelous divine spark within us, that beautiful diamond part of ourselves. So as we have healing, it's taking one of those layers off. And if you imagine the pressure on that part in the middle is released, and as we come into deeper and deeper levels, the part inside is almost eager, so eager to come out, it starts breaking through. And this can cause us, you know, some problems because, of course, then there's things, you know, probably we're having to deal with an awful lot of stuff that's coming up. And or people will deal with the immediate healing, and then another map in the onion ring underneath comes up, and it can be different things, a different lifetime or a different series of lifetimes. So, you know, we are very complex beings, and I think going back to Jasmine, I think the part that you're referring to is the part that where she found that she remembered choosing the parents. She remembers choosing the parents that she knew would abuse her before she was born. And it's about recognizing that we are here to go on these journeys, and that while these things can happen to us, it's about looking at the reason that these things are happening to us and the reason that we chose the parents and the circumstances that we did, because these things are not foisted upon us. They're there to help us, the life lessons that we want to learn for the ultimate evolution of our soul. And when we can understand this, that these people have come in as our greatest teachers to get us to the point that we wanted to get to. So I think in her lifetime's lesson, it was to learn unconditional love. Well, you know, you can love somebody unconditionally if they're very nice to you. Try doing that to somebody that's your biggest abuser.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
these
are all interesting. Yep. And one of the things that I think that you brought out with this is that you don't condone the behavior of that abuser.
No.
But what it is you recognize that they're just as much a part of the universe and the universe's divine plan, if you will, as you are. So
yeah.
The two of you are doing a waltz in life that the music may not even be played. But still the dance is done. And so it's what are you going to do? How are you going to take the experience and leverage it so that it serves you, doesn't disempower you? And that is a huge lesson.
Absolutely. So it's not about victimhood. It's about why has this happened? What could I have possibly, why did I set this up for myself? What could I have possibly wanted to learn as a soul? And we're not talking about karma here. We're talking about the evolution of the soul, which is the only reason that we're here. And as you said before, it's not about, you know, many people say, well, if I forgive the person, then they're getting away with it. No
mm-hmm.
one's getting away with anything. You know, there are the laws of karma. They will be dealt with. And what often happens when I do deeper regression work with people, they find that they were the abuser of their abuser in a past lifetime. And these things come, you know, kind of flick-flack almost.
Now,
so the abuser becomes a victim.
Mm-hmm. One of the components of shamanic environment is the very close tie with nature. And in the shamanic training that you received, there is the wisdom that says you only have two parents, that you have come through a family or an environment like you were born in England, I was born in the United States. We have different cultural positionings, and that's fine, doesn't make any difference. And here you are going to South America learning shamanic practices, which you're totally at home with, and again, it goes against all supposed logic. However, you have in your book the statement that the earth is your mother and mm-hmm. the universe around you, the sky, is the father.
I thought how
lovely a teaching that is, because then you don't have what I call an attachment to that which is not healthy. If you've had some relationships or situations in your life, you need to know, number one, you're not alone. Number two, that you can adapt and you can shift and change. And I like how you say you can change your life script. And that's very important, because so many of us, and you bring out a client that when she came to see you, she brought a telephone book, Sickness,
she
wanted to discuss, and she was so enamored of her own story, you wanted to release her from it, and she didn't want to let go of this story that was about 6 inches thick.
It was. Absolutely. So it's very beautiful, and I find that it's, you know, to have the earth as your true mother, the sun is your true father, and everybody, you know, the biological parents are purely there to, A, give you a physical body on the vibrational resonance that you wanted to be born in on, and to give you the life lessons that you wanted to learn for the evolution of your soul. So if you imagine that when everybody's up in heaven, if you like, and you're deciding what you're going to do in the next lifetime and what you want to learn and where you want to get to, you're effectively handing scripts out and saying, I want you to treat me like this because I want to learn this. And then everybody mm-hmm. comes down. But as we incarnate, we go through, like I call it, a veil, and our memories get wiped, if you like. And then all of a sudden, we're in these families, we're in the abusive situations, we've completely lost sight of who we are and why we're here. And all of a sudden, it's the whole victim spiral. And I'm not belittling how terrible abuse is. I know it only too well from, you know, my clients' experiences. But it's about, as with all healing, it's about looking at it from a different vantage point.
Mm-hmm. And that applies to every challenge that we have. And I
Absolutely.
Think when we can stand back, and I think that's part of what living is all about, is understanding that we have this capacity to transform ourselves, which we're energy, transform the energy of perception so that we can transcend certain experiences. It's like going to school. Once you get past first grade and you find yourself eventually in the seventh and eighth grade and then going to college, you don't want to go back to kindergarten.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. That's the last thing you want to do. One of the many components that you have in your book, A Healer of Souls, Dawn, is animal totems. And this always has been of interest to me. And I find that it was very strong in your experience. I want to ask you a question. One, actually it's a couple of questions. One, do you have a particular power animal? And two, has that power animal changed through the years?
Okay. So a shaman never tells because a power animal is his power, if that makes sense. So it's something that has to be protected. But if I can talk about other people's experiences. So normally when we're born, I don't know if there's there was a film where everybody had a power animal in the film. I think it was...
Yes, the Golden Compass.
That's it.
Yes.
So that's really what it's like. So everybody has an animal protector when they're born. But in shamanism and in soul retrieval, particularly, when the shaman goes to retrieve lost soul parts, and we can talk about that if you like in more depth, another animal is sometimes brought back to help that person in a particular part of their journey. So if they're looking, for example, to have more joy and more fun in life, you know, they might have a playful kitten as a power animal, and they're like, well, why isn't it a bear or a tiger? You know, but they are likely to be the more archetypical animals that are looking after you from birth. And these animals are your allies from this point on to the point of death, sometimes further, but definitely to the point of death. And they just provide support and assistance and their particular strengths for that journey, and they're very, very valuable.
Now, Dawn, I know that we're just about out of time. Your website, your book is filled with all kinds of fascinating points of information, and one of them is talking to the body so that you can recreate things in the body for wellness, for a number of aspects. What is your website?
The website is www.liberate-online.co.uk.
All right, let me repeat that. liberate-online.co.uk.
That's it.
Wonderful.
That's
well, Dawn, again, we
had...
are... Excuse me, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The server crashed. The server crashed yesterday.
Oh, my.
But I believe it is back up and running today. But if they just put in Dawn Paul Shaman, then it will be it will come up in the search engines. And the book is available on Amazon.com.
As well. Well, I think, Dawn Paul, you have given a gift by not just sharing your story, but also the story of the people who have entered into your life to be able to share your experiences and your knowledge so that they can step up and out of their old script and live a life of quality and actual freedom within themselves that they didn't think was possible. A Healer of Souls is the name of the book. Dawn Paul, D-A-W-N, Paul, P-A-U-L, is the lady who has authored it. She's in England, Hertfordshire, and check it out. I think you'll find that she has a lot to share, and it's good stuff. It's universal, and anybody can learn from the wisdom. Dawn Paul, thank you so much for being my guest today.
You're so welcome, Donna. Thank you for inviting me to the show. And if I can just add that, you know, I work worldwide over the telephone, so distance is no problem if anybody needs help.
Oh, that is marvelous. liberate-online-co.uk. That's her website. Of course, the server crashed, but it'll be up eventually.
It will.
Thank you again, Dawn Paul. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hello, this is Donna, and I'm so delighted that you're with me today. Telephone lines are now open, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I just absolutely, totally enjoy having people on the air and sharing their particular experiences because it allows us to see how each of us may travel our own unique journey. And it's not good, it's not bad. It is a journey that we go through. And through the magic of BBS Radio and its technology, we're able to talk to people around the world. And this is just a phenomenal opportunity. So I invite you to invite your friends. I invite you to let them know that we have some wonderful, wonderful programming that's going to empower your life. Now, by the way, I said there was a toll-free call-in number, 888-627-6008. And if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, well, give me a buzz. All I need is your first name or initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling in from. So again, 888-627-6008. Quickly, I want to mention to you that I'm going to be at the Emerald Spiral Expo. If you're in the state of Washington, this is an expo that is done twice a year in the spring and in the fall. On March 30th, we have our first one for this year, and it is all about bringing to you the opportunity of your being able to talk to people with different talents. There's going to be products and services. It's open and free to the public. It is marvelous. Now, this is going to be on March 30th, and it's being held at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, as I said. No charge at all. You can come in for free, and it's just delightful. It has a wonderful, intimate feel to it. I'll be there. I'm going to have Saluza books. It's a great time to get something that maybe you wouldn't even consider otherwise. And I'm also going to be doing mini sessions for people, little mini consultations. So check it out. Go to emeraldspiral.com. And we are going to have Susan Harmon, who is the woman in charge of the Emerald Spiral Expo. We're going to have her on Monday, along with Ellen Kanner. And this is called Feeding the Hungry Ghost. Ooh, sounds a little woo-woo. Well, it has maybe just a touch of that. But really, we're going to be talking about some very interesting things, wellness, food. Then on Tuesday, we're going to be discussing the White House. That's right. A man who now is in his 80s. In fact, he's 87 years old. His daughter, Kathleen, is going to be on the air with him. Who is he? Well, he is Les Kinsolving. He is a man that has history behind him that is just utterly phenomenal. He's a sassy character, and it's the gadfly. That's the nickname that was given to him. We're also going to be talking about Big Bo next week, next Wednesday. He is an Indian of the Kiowa tribe. This is a book that was written by someone who tells his story and the teachings of the Kiowa people. And then how to save the world on $5 a day? Well, Fred Feldman is going to be our guest. And then we're going to be talking a week from today with a woman up in Alaska, Cora Holmes, that shares the myths of the people of the Aleutian Islands through her novel. So we'll be chatting with her a little bit a week from today. And you never know, we may have a surprise guest. That's right, just like today. So just remember, you can go in and tap show information here on the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll find out about the lineup of guests. And once in a while, we have someone come in that you wouldn't even think was going to be on the show, and it's a surprise, just like today. I wanted to share some information. I had a reader of my newsletter that sent me some details on an item that so many of us have in our medicine cabinets, and that we often ignore it. It's called hydrogen peroxide. And the reason I wanted to share it with you is that it's these details, just a few of them that Carolyn sent, is that hydrogen peroxide has for many, many generations, as I mentioned, been a part of a person's medicine chest. Well, in today's world, we don't often give it much consideration. However, it is something that is invaluable, and it is very inexpensive. That's right. So this is information by a woman who is a doctor's wife, and she was chatting with an individual, and she said, I would suggest you consider using peroxide rather than Clorox. Now, we all know how Clorox is invaluable for disinfectant. Now, you have to be very careful, though, when you use Clorox, because if you happen to mix a little bit of Ajax in with some Clorox, you have an explosive gas that, if you inhale it, can damage your lungs. I know this for a fact, and you're warned not to mix chlorine with a lot of products, because there is this gas that is produced that literally can kill you and destroy your lungs. So anyway, this is something that this doctor's wife said that nurses will use, hydrogen peroxide, because it is something that is very, very valuable, and it doesn't do the harm. Now, I interviewed a physician at one time who really believed in hydrogen peroxide very, very strongly. And, in fact, if you had any problems inside your mouth, like if you got little sores, little canker sores, or you had maybe an irritated gum, all you do is take maybe like a half a teaspoon, because it bubbles up in your mouth, and you just swish it around your mouth or hold it in your mouth, just, and it bubbles. It just bubbles up. I know, because I use it frequently. And, by golly, you won't have a problem with infections in the mouth. Also, if you're a tea drinker like me, oh boy, I love my tea. Well, tea stains your teeth really badly. You just rinse with the hydrogen peroxide. You won't have that. And if you want to take it a little step further, just take a toothbrush and just gently go around your teeth with it after it's been in your mouth for a while, and then spit it out. And you will have white teeth. Hydrogen peroxide is one of the components that's used in the whitening strips in a different way. Also, if you want to keep your toothbrushes clear and free of germs, let them soak in hydrogen peroxide. Now, something I had not considered, but it's something that's very viable. We'll talk about maybe using vinegar on a lot of things. Hydrogen peroxide has no smell, so you're not going to have a vinegary smell. If you put a little bit on your sponge or dishcloth, whatever you wipe, a wooden cutting board, by golly, just a little spray of hydrogen peroxide, the bacteria is destroyed. Also, people have found it is very good for dealing with fungus. And if you have infections or cuts, all you have to do is put maybe a cloth, soak it in hydrogen peroxide, put it on an injury, and it disinfects. And it's not going to be painful. So you can have a bottle of 50% hydrogen peroxide, 50% water. Use it for, you know, cleaning things in the bathroom. If you don't want the smell of bleach, if you don't want to have that. And this is very, very safe. And it's not going to harm children. It's not going to harm animals. It really is quite amazing. And I'm going to try something that I found out, and that is take a cup of hydrogen peroxide and put it in with the laundry, because they say it is a very good way to actually whiten your clothes. You wouldn't think one cup of it, and I haven't tried that one yet. But this is something, just little items, so you might want to check it out. If you're like me, and you're saying that I just am so uncomfortable using particular perfumed things, I can't blame you. There's a lot of items that are on the shelves that I can't use. I've been in hotel rooms when I've traveled, and I can hardly breathe. I have to open up a window to let fresh air in because they have used a spray of some kind that is highly perfumed, and I get a reaction to it. So this is something to keep handy, and if you have sick people in your home, it's a great way to not add perfume and a safe way to disinfect. You don't believe me? Go ahead and check it out. Hydrogen peroxide. Look it up. There is a Dr. Campbell that wrote a book about hydrogen peroxide that's quite informative as well. So again, check out your information. I think you'll be fascinated with what you find out. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, if you want to avoid spending money that you know you should not spend, especially when it comes to your mobile phone, your cell phone, well, what you need to do is be aware that in the United States, there is a new ruling that's coming out by the 17th of April. Now, what's going to happen is this. Your service provider is going to send you a free usage alert via text message when you're approaching your cell phone limits, whatever they might be, or if in dialing the number that you may be considering dialing, you're going to encounter international rates. So you won't be hit with those surprise fees anymore. I think that's a wonderful idea. And I think it just is, you know, just makes sense. And that way, you will know if you are following a patterning or maybe you need to increase your limits. Maybe you have an unlimited plan, so it doesn't make any difference. Also, if you want to get a free credit report, you can get your free credit report from the Credit Bureau TransUnion for free whenever you want it, and you'll get complimentary alerts. Now, think about this. By email, you'll get complimentary alerts notifying you about any change in your credit report. If your credit goes up, or if someone is trying to gain access to open a credit card in your name. Things are changing. So this is a site you might want to check out, the Credit Bureau TransUnion, to be notified. And you'll get that free credit report. It really does make a difference. And in today's world, when so many people are wanting to refinance because the rates are so low, when you become aware of your credit report, sometimes you may find your credit level has gone down. Your numbers are not up. Anything above 740 is just a plus. But let's say it's dropped down. Maybe you've incurred a lot of debt. Well, when you're made aware of what's going on, then you can take and create a plan of action to bring your credit level up. Also, bank fees. The banks are doing a lot of things to add fees to anything and everything. I know if you're stung by a minimum balance fee or some other unanticipated bank charge, you now are going to have free alerts that will let you know your daily balance and when checks have been cashed, deposits have been cleared, or someone who you share a debit card with makes a purchase or an ATM withdrawal. Now, this is what you have to do. You have to sign up at your bank's website to receive them via text or email, and you will know, just like with a mobile app, you're going to be notified when things like this are happening. In the good old days, it used to be, you'd have someone from the bank call you and say, "Hi, Mrs. Jones, guess what happened? Gee whiz, your check is going to bounce unless you can make a transfer." Now they're doing it electronically, without the personal touch, which I think is sad to a degree. However, that's the world that we live in. Just some tips for you. We're going to take a quick break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to share with you a recipe today that I think is, well, I know we're in spring, but sometimes if you're living in a part of the country where the temps drop and you just want something that's just sort of a comfort food, that's the word that people often use. And one of the favorite comfort foods is the potato. And I think of the man Luther Burbank that had such an impact on the potato interest. Industry itself, and he was able to invent all kinds of adaptations with the potato. And this is nothing new. When you really go back into history, you find the people in the Andes had developed, I think, 50 different species of potatoes. I mean, it was just amazing. And they were into freeze-drying food long before we in the Western world became aware of it, because it gets bitter cold up in the Andes, and the food was preserved. I think it was about 20 years ago, they discovered that not only were the people that lived in the Andes very sophisticated in agricultural production, but they had also developed an irrigation technique up in the Andes that enabled them to supply water and to protect their plants against the bitter cold temperatures, especially the night temperatures. And so when those were discovered, it was like, ooh, wow, guess what? These people were smart. Isn't it wonderful when we find out that our ancestors really were quite brilliant in the way they did things? And they understood how to create water flow at the higher altitudes, how to insulate the potatoes, which were the staff of their life, to survive the unpleasant situations. Well, this is a mashed potato casserole. And I'm not one that's especially fond of mashed potatoes. It's never been a big thing for me, but I do love the potato. But when I came across this recipe, I thought, oh, this is really good. Now, you could use any kind of potato that you like. You're going to need about 3 pounds. And, of course, you can adapt this recipe. This is going to feed about 8 people, but you can cut it in half if you want to do it. But it's real, real simple, but it's got a lot of flavor to it. And you can doctor this up, too, if you want. So let me just give you the recipe as it is. 3 pounds of red potatoes, and you want to cut them into nice chunks. And you're going to need one onion, and you want to chop that up fine, coarse, however you like it. You're going to need 1 cup of milk, and I would like to change it to 1 cup of heavy cream. That's what I like to use. I find that heavy cream gives a consistency to dishes. It's just wonderful. But that's my bias. You could just use 1 cup of milk. A quarter of a cup of butter, and you need a half a teaspoon of salt, a quarter of a teaspoon of pepper, or more if you like. You're going to need 1 cup of grated extra sharp cheddar cheese. And the extra sharp is really good because it gives a very distinct flavor. 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley, and you may want to have a little bit more than that, and 1 teaspoon of chopped fresh thyme. Now, this is how simple this recipe is. It is just taking your cut up potatoes, an onion, and you put enough water to cover it in a pot by about 1 inch, add a little bit of salt, bring it to a boil, and you just then reduce the heat once it's boiling, reduce it to medium high, cook until the potatoes are tender. 15 to 20 minutes, well, heck, if you put a lid on the thing, you're going to have it cooked a lot faster. If you're a person that likes to microwave this, then all you have to do is put it in a glass dish, microwave it, you know, check it about 5 minutes, and test it with a fork, and if the potatoes are cooked through, wonderful. Now, remember, you're going to have moisture when you microwave, so that's something that will have to be drained, and it's the same thing with the potatoes and onions that you're cooking on a stove. You need to make sure you will drain them. However, what you do, your oven, you're preheating to 425 degrees, and you're going to need about 1.5-quart size baking dish. And you want to spray that with cooking spray so that it comes out easily and it won't adhere to the sides of the pan. Your potato mixture, well, you put it into the same pot that you boiled the potatoes in, and you can have, while this is cooking on the stove, a smaller pot where you put your milk and your butter. And once the butter is melted, and you can also do that in the microwave, but I like to let it just melt slowly on low while the potatoes are cooking. And that's going to take about 30 to 45 seconds, depending on your microwave, to melt the butter in the milk. And then you're going to add that to your potatoes with your salt and pepper to taste. And then you stir in a half a cup of your cheese and your parsley and your thyme. You mix it all together. Put it in your baking dish. Sprinkle it with the remaining half a cup of cheese. And if you're like me, you're always going to add more because I love cheese. And then you bake it for about 20 minutes until it's hot. And cheese, of course, is melted. If you want to make it a little bit brown, the cheese, and put it under broiler for about a minute. And then you can sprinkle it with some additional chopped parsley. But it is wonderful. You could add, different spices, different seasonings. Use your imagination. You can take this dish and really make it into something that fits the taste buds of your family. But I guarantee you, kids are going to love this. Another good addition to this is if you have any leftover meat, and that is, or something like bacon, if you, like I do, in the Sebo household, we love bacon. So I often cook up extra, and then you could just sprinkle this right in, and so you've got a different flavor. So use your imagination. You could add chicken to this. You could add whatever else you wanted to. And it's really a basic dish that can go a long way. And I think it'll please just about anybody. If you have a vegetarian, you don't have meat in it. If you have something else that's going on, you've got finicky kids, they'll love the cheese. They will love, and again, like I said, I like to use the cream rather than the milk because it gives a different type of a consistency. It has sort of a creamier texture to it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Drug addiction. This is something none of us like to have to deal with. I have a story. I don't think I have enough time to share it today about a woman and how she dealt with her son's addiction. So probably I will be sharing this story next week sometime because she had a lot of growth that she had to go through to be able to deal with this. And it's not an easy thing to deal with. Addiction is a big challenge because you're dealing with physiological chemistry, emotional, distortion that has to be overcome. And many people that I've met that have walked the road of the addict, whatever form it may take, they find that there is a point when that journey makes them stop and they have to take on a positioning of personal responsibility. They have to ask themselves, why am I here? Why am I going through this? And that brings me full circle with the guest that I had today, Don Paul. Our lives have meaning. Whoever you are, wherever you are significant in this experience of life. And I want you to be aware of that because you really make a difference. And if you are facing challenges, realize that those challenges are there for you to grow through. Doesn't mean you have to stay stuck in them, but you have to grow through them. In growing through them, you'll discover a bigger and better part of yourself that allows you to realize that you are here for a purpose of expression that's for the highest and for the best. And that somehow in your journey, you will touch other people's lives and maybe give them the inspiration to grow into the greatness of what they are as well. This is Donna Sebo here. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's been a delight sharing time with you today. Won't you join me again next week? We've got a great lineup of guests. And, oh, my goodness, our lineup in May? Well, we've got all kinds of fabulous people. I do hope you'll plan to share time with me again. Thank you for being with us. Remember always, we really enjoy having you as a part of our family here at bdsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.